Amen to that. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we're just so thankful to be able to worship with you today. Father, thank you that you've allowed us to speak to you, to enjoy you again. And I do pray that continually as we live our lives, that we'll learn every day to connect with you, to sit at your feet, to be humble at your word, to have a heart that is sober before your word, that wants to change every single day of our lives. Father, we're on a journey, and we have not arrived yet. But Father, we pray that you keep us safe. And as we look at just the subject of covenants, we'll be able to go back to when we made the decision to become children of yours in baptism. For us to remember the days we got baptized, when we stood at the waters of baptism and the vows that we made. I do pray that today maybe we can far go back and remember and rekindle some of the vows that we made back then. We pray that you be with us, that you continue to open up our eyes. I pray that for all of us visiting here today, whether for the first time, Father, that we will leave here with an understanding what it means to be in a covenant relationship with you. Amen. Father, please be with us. Thank you so much for just the brothers and sisters, for the welcome, the prayer, for the communion, moving us to the cross and talking about what really separates us from God is sin, and for us to take that seriously. Father, I pray that you be with me as I speak. Help me to speak your very words. And the words that you don't want me to say, help me not to say it. But the words that you want me to say, Father, help me to speak them, are speaking your very words. Thank you so much for this time. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I say good afternoon. I was about to say good morning. It is good to be here with you and to be looking at the whole topic of covenants. All right, I know that David Kaner has kindly put the microphone here, but I guess I don't need a microphone. All right, okay, all of you can hear me. And I'm going to really keep it very, very slow today as I was in Berlin a couple of weeks ago and I had to keep it really, really slow at snail pace. But I'm not going to go at snail pace today. Do you understand? I'm going to pick it up a little bit. Okay. I know we've been having a great time looking at the book of Deuteronomy. And I think today is such an important subject or topic to look at. The whole idea of covenants. When we live in the world today, people mistake the word covenant and the word contract. But they're two separate words. Covenant goes deeper than a contract. And I'm going to be sharing that. You know, what is a covenant? You know, it comes from the Hebrew word birth, or the Greek word diatheke, which is a legal agreement between two or more parties. The word covenant occurs 284 times in the Old Testament, depending on what version you're using. 37 times in the New Testament. The word is found there, which gives us a total of around 321 times. So the word covenant definitely has a pretty much significant meaning in the word of God. You know, when we look at the heart of God, using covenants is how God communicates to us. That is how he redeems us. That is how he guarantees us eternal life in Jesus. Can you all hear me? Very well. Okay, very good. Okay, that's encouraging. Okay, let's pick it up. He does this because... Okay. Why does God do this? Because a covenant is a promise. And God's promises cannot be broken, since they rest in God's infinite pure character. I know for all of us here today, I talk to our brothers and sisters here. For many of us, probably we got baptized, you know, I'm here with Temi. Temi is one of our brothers from the Southeast. Temi is a student, but he's based in the Southeast. And I wanted to bring Temi here today to worship with all of you. Do you understand? Just to kind of see what the central region is and some of the young folks around. You know, when you come to the Southeast, it's kind of an aged and mature sector. So I want him just to mingle, do you understand? And see the students here and the hoo-has, you know. But so it's great to have him here. So Temi, but you know, the thing is, Temi got baptized on the 4th of September. And that was when he entered into a covenant relationship with God, or God did, you know, on both sides. And yet today, you know, one thing, brothers and sisters, is that we have got to take our covenant with God seriously. We cannot be lax with it. We've got to take it seriously. All right? Now, the Bible is a covenant document. Sometimes we carry our Bibles around, but this is a pretty impressive, probably the most important book in the world. It's the Bible, isn't that right? And so we call it the Old Covenant, and we call it the New Covenant. And really, you know, the word Testament is the Latin word for covenant. So really, you've got right here, when we say Old Testament, New Testament, basically what we're saying is the Old Covenant, and it is the New Covenant. So what you're holding here is priceless. What you're holding in your hands is hot. Isn't that right? Because it's a covenant. So we take it, we don't just read it like a newspaper. We take it in, we reflect, and we kind of say, Lord, hits me where it hurts. Amen. I know most of us say that flew over our heads, but we'll continue with the message. Point number one, the purpose of the covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 4. All right. Okay, I just want to say, guys, it's always great to see you guys here. I was a little bit offended when I started preaching, and Fulola said, go on, big talks. That hurt my feelings. That's okay. But you know what though? It's all for God. Do you understand? Because I was just going to say, okay, let me just go back home. But because I'm doing it for God, I'll read the scripture this morning. You understand? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Okay. Let's stick with the scriptures here. All right. Let's stick with the scriptures. All right. Hurting my feelings. All right. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? Brothers and sisters, don't we worship a mighty God? Isn't our God an awesome God? That, you know, when people look at us, we have something special with God. And He says, when the nations, when they see that, they will say, wow, man, surely we worship an awesome God. And I think sometimes we minimize the God that we worship. We minimize it. We're a people of God. And you know, we know that when God called out the Israelites, He didn't choose them because of their righteousness, but because He wanted to have a relationship with them. They were undeserving like us, isn't that right? But praise God that God used somebody to reach out to us, isn't that right? So that we could be part of God's worldwide kingdom. To become children of His, where we can cry out to our Father and say, Abba Father. Or in other words, we can say, my Daddy in heaven. Let's read on. Only be careful again, He repeats the word, and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Amen, students. This is just some vision right here. Do you understand? That, the Lord put it there. I didn't put it there. Just some vision for you. Okay? As I think about the future. Okay. Moving on swiftly. Okay. There was some silence in the room right there. Okay. That's okay. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, Mount Sinai. When He said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to what? Revere me. That is, fear me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You know, brothers and sisters, what is the purpose of this covenant? God wanted to have a relationship with his people. You know, the people didn't ask for a covenant from the beginning. It was initiated by God himself. God wanted to have a covenant relationship with his people. You know, you might be sitting down here. I don't know what week you've had. I don't know, you know, whether, you know, for those of us who are married, whether you had a marital splash this morning before you came in. I don't know whether you slept on the wrong side of the bed. You had a bad breakfast, you understand. You walk in here feeling grumpy, but God still loves you. Isn't that right? He wants to have a relationship with you. Sometimes we get so distant. God is never distant from us. He loves us more than we can even imagine. He loves us so much that he longs to have a relationship with us 24/7 a day. And it wasn't their request, but rather because of his love for them. What was the purpose of God's covenant? God's commitment so that his people would be seen as blessed by God. As we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 8 to 14. You know, one of the things that we see in the Old Testament, giving you some background material here, is one of the earliest uses for written text was as a means of recording contractual agreements between individuals or groups. Want you to bear that in mind. You know, there were two kinds of covenants, two major types of covenants in ancient times. Okay? One was a parity covenant, where two equal parties will come into agreement. You understand? You know, it was as if one was stronger or one was weaker. They were both equal. And they, you know, they were equally bound, okay, in that contract. So they equally bound themselves together in a contract. The second one was what we call a Caesarean, you know, covenant. And this was something that the Hittites were well known for. And you know, when you look at archaeological excavations, you see some of these things written on clay in terms of what they did. So the Israelites took this, and that is where a stronger party, okay, takes over what? A weaker party. It's an agreement between a stronger party and a weaker party. For example, a strong nation, okay, might overpower a weak nation. Dare I say, no, let me leave that out. I'm not going to go there. Okay. No, it wasn't football. I was going to say England and France, but I apologize. Okay. Are there any French people? Okay. And yet the victors would agree to protect the weaker nation if the weaker nation would keep certain rules. So for us here, we kind of have a sovereign relationship with God. God is stronger than us. Isn't that right? And as far as we keep the rules, what happens? God is happy. Isn't God happy? Wants to keep the rules. Thanks, Temi. You know, God had this type of covenant with Israel in Exodus 19, 4 to 6. I'll just read that. It says, we read, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my, what, covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. This is Moses, God speaking to us and really saying, you know what, hey, you got to keep my covenants. Because if you do not, isn't that right? There were consequences. You know, where are people of where are people of nature and habit? You know, as we grow up as kids, you know, when my parents tell me do not, the very thing they tell me do not do is the very thing I want to do. Because we're all curious, isn't that right? And that's why they say curiosity killed the what? The rat. Was it the rat that killed or the cat? It's the cat. You guys are being politically correct. I thought it was a rat. Okay. Curiosity killed the cat. Okay. Which cat? Does the cat have a name? No, okay. As Israel obeyed God, they remained under the care of his covenant. But when they finally rejected him and his son, what happens? There was trouble. They were no longer his special people. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot get settled and think, okay, it's tick box, I come to church. We are here to have a relationship with God. Isn't that right? Church is kind of secondary. Church outflows from that. Isn't that right? But you know, we cannot get settled in our hearts. And yet, we know that in Old Testament times, there were so many covenants that God made. Some of them were broken, isn't that right? And some of them were carried on. Look at some of the covenants right here. Let me just run through. The first one was the Adamic covenant. That is the covenant God made with Adam, where? In the Garden of where? Okay. Some of us are scared even to say Garden of Eden. What happened there? God told Adam, I want to have an everlasting relationship with you. Based on obedience to God. And what was the sign? The tree of life. What did God say? Don't eat any fruit from what? And what did they do? The very thing. They ate the fruit. All of you who eat fruit? We've got some scholars here. I was in Berlin preaching. And I was referring to this and I said apple. And Daniel Marie from the north came up to me. He just said, Tux, it is not apple, it is fruit. I said, amen, bro, amen. God carried away right here. Amen. Yes. You understand? It was a fruit. Now, in our minds, I don't know, it could have been a banana. It could have been a mango. But the Bible just says fruit, isn't it? So we just, if the Bible says fruit, it's fruit. Amen. It could have been a marrow. That's okay. But that's okay. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that right? So who am I to say apple? That's how we get ourselves into trouble. So, what did they do? They ate of the fruit and they broke that covenant. There was a covenant with Noah. Isn't that right? Where he promised Noah never to destroy the earth. Isn't that right? By what? By a flood. And the sign of that covenant was what? A rainbow. And so, you know, one thing about the covenant is great, but God is saying, this time around, when it comes to destroy the earth, it will be by what? Fire. That's scary. Man. I could do with the flood, swim, you know, but amen. That's okay. Amen, girl. And then there was the Mosaic Covenant on Mount Sinai between God and the Israelites, where there would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, when you get baptized into Christ, you become what? A priest. All Christians are priests. All Christians are saints. We are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Isn't that great? And yet there's so many other covenants in the Bible that we can read about. But you see, it was more than a contract. Now let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Now, I've got a phone right here. It's a T-Mobile phone. It's an HTC S-Desire. I know some of you students, you flash around your phones, iPhone 4S, iPhone 5. Let me tell you something. This is the best phone going. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you guys, do you understand what I'm saying? But here's one thing I do want to say. With a contract, you can come out of a contract anytime, but there is kind of a minimal fine. Isn't that right? Yes. Too many times, you understand, because there's a little penalty. With a covenant, you come out in a covenant, there are some severe consequences. So when we talk about covenant, it is more than a contract. In the eyes of the world, marriage has now become a contract rather than a covenant. With some of us, you know, baptized disciples, we see our relationship with God as disciples to God. We see sometimes as a contract rather than a covenant. That's why we have people, they walk into church and they say, oh man, somebody stomped on my little spiritual toe. Look at how that brother looked at me. Look at how that sister looked at me. Relationship problems. He didn't hug me right. He didn't hug me right. Ooh, look at the church. And we start looking at the church rather than to God, and we say, because of people, I'm going to walk away. You have forgotten what you got involved in. You are involved in a covenant. A covenant has far-reaching consequences. Are you with me, church? The contract is too formal. It is heartless. There is no habit. You know, a contract, I can cancel any time. Don't we do that? They give you a 14-day period if you don't like something. Isn't that right? Sometimes you go to the store, okay? If you don't wear the shirt, you don't wear it. And they say if you don't like it, you can return it to the store. And they have, is it 30 days or 14 days? 28 days. Okay, she's shopping. Do you understand? Now, just a little bit of a caveat here. You don't wear it and say you don't like it and take it back. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Okay, just a little bit of a caveat right there. Okay. A covenant is about a heart connection. When you are connected with something, man, you know, when I was getting baptized, I tell you, I stood before the waters of baptism and I was shivering because I felt, okay, I've counted the cost. I had to give up my sinful ways. Thanks a lot for the communion today about sin. Sin is real. And I'm glad what you say. It is, you know, people don't talk about sin. It's not as if you say the headline news today is the sin of immorality on the metro or independence. No, they don't put it because it doesn't go well with the psyche and the moral values of our society. So I'm standing at the waters of baptism and I'm kind of thinking, whoa, man, cancel the cost. I've got to make a decision here to follow God for the rest of my life. Not 1 month, not 2 months, not three. So I'm standing there. Oh, I was in Chicago then. I'm thinking, can I do this? And in my mind, there were kind of doubts in terms of, whoa, can I do this? But I prayed. And I thank God I'm standing before you here today. But they were, whoa! Because one thing that was, it's a covenant, it's not a contract. I couldn't pull out of it. It's for better or for worse. You know, students, you are in this for the rest of your life. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Now you know. I'm sure you know. An agreement between two people, two parties, where both agree to the terms, though with God. We both agreed to the terms already when we got baptized. Isn't that right? It's God's terms or no terms at all. And you know, we've got to keep on living that life. Based on whose terms? Not your terms, not my terms, but God's terms. That was the purpose of the covenant. You know one thing I love though? Is that the new covenant is even greater than the first covenant. That's why it says, you know, the old covenant is there, passing and fading away. The covenant we're part of is built on better promises. I love that, guys. You're waking up every morning, you sin, there's got to be some type of sacrifice, burnt offerings, fellowship offerings. There were so many offerings, isn't that right? You come to church every Sunday, you be praising God, bread and wine. Do this in remembrance of me. But do it with the right mindset. You know, the new covenant is between Christ and his church and consists of obtaining eternal salvation. You know, the covenant sign is what? Baptism. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. And the continued participation is when we take communion, it's a reminder of your vows. Do you still remember your vows when you got baptized? Do you remember your vows? Do you remember? Is it fresh in your mind when you got baptized? Is it fresh in your mind? You know, as I talk to you students right here, we are part of a great covenant. You know, sometimes, you know, when we talk about Christ's love compels us and we walk out there, there are a lot of people that walk around this city that don't know about Jesus, about the real Jesus. That walk around with a void in their lives and they think, I know, but they don't know about this covenant relationship that we have. And we've got to be able to share that with them, brothers and sisters. We share that with them. You know, Matthew 22, love the Lord your God. We love your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want to speak to the students a little bit right here. Some of you, you've been around for quite some time. We have the old students, you know, walk around the fellowship. When I was a young leader, I had a young leader syndrome. The young leader syndrome, you know, you just become a new leader, walking around the fellowship thinking, man, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. But you know, students we have, young students, old students, we have the townies. And I think sometimes, one of the biggest areas, this is the townies you call them. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got me a little bit insecure there when you laughed. I think I was there. Okay, sorry. You're distracting me. No, just kidding. One of the things that I do want to say is that no matter how long we've been around, you got to keep on thinking in your mind, how am I doing with my covenants? So students, all of us around here, some of you got baptized young, you know, some of us as mature students, but sometimes it's so easy for us to settle down. To settle. I'm not taking the covenant seriously. I think about college life. There's so many distractions in college life, isn't that right? And we forget to worship God with our mind, you know, heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I want to focus on the mind because the mind is where most of these things happen. And sometimes the mind can become what? A bird's nest. Where so many things go on in your mind as a student, isn't that right? Whether it's the worldly things around there, it could be a boy, it could be a girl, it could be what is going on. And sometimes there can be a pull, isn't that right? And that's why you remember the covenant you made with God. Let me tell you something. Mulligan Price was sharing as he did the close out today in the sector. He had one of his nephews has been to church so many times, spoken about God, came to teen conferences, and last month, a couple of months ago, they said, was it last week? They rushed him to hospital because he had gotten drunk and was out of it. You read the stories in the papers, brothers and sisters, and it reminds us of what we're all about. When you read about last year, there was a UCL student that died of an ecstasy overdose. And every single year, there's always one fresher dying of an overdose of drugs. And it might not be drugs. It might be people leaving home who have never dabbled into drugs, trying drugs, getting drunk. There's always, do you understand? And I kind of feel, I wish they would only know about the God we serve. And brothers and sisters, I hope we're not tempted by what we see out there. And when we are, because of our relationship and the covenant relationship God has with us, that we confess those temptations. Because it could be any one of us. Remember your covenant. Do you remember those vows? You know, some of us, you know, hey, let me share about my life. I'm glad my daughter is here. And, you know, over the years, you know, whether the challenges, you know, we work as ministers, we worked in the secular world, but sometimes there's always that temptation, you know, hey, Bola and I, you know, we've been married right now. We've been married now for 24 years. No, 23 years. I better get that right. 24 next year. Oh, man. Whew. We were young, single, having fun. The kids come along. We praise God for that. And sometimes you may want to settle rather than be on the edge. But God calls us to be what? A light to the nations. That we got to keep on living our life to the best for Him. Isn't that right? That's why when God chose His people, He says, I want these guys to be a light to the nation. Isn't that right? That we should love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That we should love our neighbors as ourselves. That we should be a light to the world. Are you a light? You're a covenant person. Are you showing and sharing that light? We're special. Share it. Share it. And I think, brothers and sisters, let us not forget the expectation that God has for all of us who have accepted His covenant. Point number two, commitment to the covenant. My last point, commitment to the covenant. All right, you know, it's amazing here because as I look around right here, some of us have had haircuts. I walked in here today and I said, wow, I've had a haircut since I've been here. But for Brian, I think I saw. It's a little bit. Man, you look good, you look good. Okay. You always look good. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, I'm not saying you didn't look good. I said you always look good. Do you understand? But I just, you know, I like the low cuts. You're trying to be like me. Oh, that's fine. That's okay. That's okay then. I'm okay. Some of us have an afro right here. The gentleman right here. Do you understand? Putting on the gel. Let's not talk about the students here. The gel. I know what you're doing in your rooms. I heard. Somebody told me, you know, some of us with the froze right here. But that's okay. Amen. So fire in a covenant relationship with God. Because God cares about the heart. Amen. Amen. Verse 15. Okay. Verse 15. Amen. I just like to get into it. Isn't that having fun when you preach? Man, amen. It's all right, okay. Thanks for validating that. Okay. Verse 15. Commitment to the covenant. Verse 15. All right. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal on earth, or any bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground, or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace out of Egypt to be the people of His inheritance as you are now. The Lord was angry with me, talking to Moses here, because of you, and he solemnly swore that I will not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan, but you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Careful not to do what? Forget. We made a covenant with God, isn't that right? Do not forget. He made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Wow. God is a jealous husband, isn't that right? He is jealous. He wants to make sure that when I have a relationship with you, nobody else, he doesn't want anybody to tamper. He says he's a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. It's like a marriage relationship. It's like a boyfriend, girlfriend. They love each other, isn't that right? Somebody steps in there. Why are you fellowshipping her? Why are you fellowshipping him? Hello? You're just dating. But our God is a jealous God. You know, let's talk about our marriage covenant with God. Let me give you an illustration here about marriage vows. You know, I got married in 1989, March 19th. I praise God for that. And you know, back in those days, you know, we didn't read our vows to each other. They were the traditional vows. You get in there. But nowadays, it's all different now. You know, the groom and the bride, they'll burn the scroll take time. They wax the candle on it. And then they read the vows. So, you know, it's very, very elaborate. In our time, it was the traditional vows. See, death, do you pass? Do you? And I'm thinking, amen. Husband and wife, thank God for that. But you know, sometimes the vows, and people spend hours on it for a 1 hour ceremony. It's 1 hour. 1 hour. What would it be like, church, if the husband made these eloquent vows, but he was filled with might or maybe? Maybe I'll be faithful if I feel like it. Hey, I got a choice. How about I might be willing to live up to this commitment as long as I'm having a good week? As long as you're having a good week in the marriage, hey, I might live up to this commitment. I might be willing to do this for you if you are willing to do something else for me. Can you see the tit for tat? There's some problems here. I tell you, the wife wouldn't be very excited about those vows. You know what she would do? She would probably leave the altar altogether. And let me tell you something. There will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth where those brothers live, where that brother lives. There will be some tears. You know, am I talking about the marriage vows here? Or am I talking about our relationship with God? How sometimes we base our relationship with God on feelings, how I feel. That's why the Bible says, deny feelings and follow Christ. Isn't that right? Or I'm having, you know, it depends on how my week goes, tells me how committed I'm going to be. Guys, pressure or distractions should never come into the way. We give God our whole hearts, don't we? Don't we, guys? And yet God reminds his people of their commitment time and time again throughout Deuteronomy. And that is what the second telling here is all about. He is reminding them. There was a commitment made by God. It expected a commitment by the people. God wants your commitment today. He wants your commitment. You know, we had a very, very great staff retreat. I need to wind this up. We had a great staff retreat. It was a great time. And some of the other ministers and elders were giving me just some very, very good spiritual advice, because I've been feeling pain all over my body. Do you understand? I'm hardly sick. I hardly get sick. I hardly get pain in my body. And I think, you know, it's kind of getting challenging. And I was kind of thinking, man, Tokes, is the Lord trying to teach you a lesson? Is he trying to slow you down? I did an MRI scan. I did an X-ray. They couldn't find anything, but the pain is still there. You know, when you're in challenging circumstances, that is where God really comes through. But my mind was kind of getting distracted. And my commitment to him, do you understand, in terms of my own prayer and Bible study, it was there, but I know that it was kind of getting to a stage of, let me just kind of tick the box, get by. But it was helpful for me to say, you know, you can't get by with God. There is a commitment. And that was very helpful for my own heart. Many of us, you might be sitting down right here today, and you might be thinking, Lord, this is a one-sided covenant. Lord, just feed me. Come to church, inspiration. Every disciple is a giver. Every member of the church gives something back to God. It is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. My mind was telling me to say, it is more blessed to receive than to give. Do you understand? But that's what the Bible says. Isn't that right? You know how your mind plays games with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? More blessed. You know, all disciples are givers. And God is telling them not to forget what they committed to. You shouldn't forget. You know, for many of us, we're students. Don't forget what you committed to as a student. I know it's challenging. I know the studies. For many of us, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and we're studying different subjects. Do you understand? But in your situation, you've got to say, what am I committed to? Is the commitment still there? Townies, sometimes work can become so big for us, isn't that right? And achievements and promotion. But are we really being alive to want to seek and save the lost? What is filling your spiritual void? What is it? What is filling your spiritual void? You know, in our Christian lives, we can't let our guard down. 53 times in the New Testament, the word watch is used. Watch out. Keep watch over the flock. We cannot let our guard down on our commitment to following Jesus. Lastly, let me just give you some practicals here. What can we do to keep our commitment going strong? First thing, stick with the scriptures. Every message that I do, there's always going to be something on the basics. How is your Bible study? I didn't say how are your academics. I'm saying, or the town is, how is your Bible study? In Deuteronomy 14, it says, do not add or take away. Continually be led by the scriptures in all that you are doing. There is power in the word of God. That's what changes us. Talk more about the word of God. You know, one of the encouraging things I told them, the sector this morning, I said, a lot of times, you know, when we have a church service, we hear a great message. Rather than us talk about it in the fellowship, we've got to learn how to have spiritual conversations. It's something we've got to keep on learning to do. Because the fellowship comes out, and then, rather than us say, okay, what did you get from the message? Even if it's one thing you can share. How's the weather? How's the election? Even though those things, you know, how's the hurricane? And then, it goes over our head, rather than talk about the things that will challenge us. And then I'm saying, you know, it's for a long time, but it's always good to have something in your mind to talk spiritually, so that we can help each other. Keep our eyes focused. So not only stick with the scriptures, keep your eyes focused on God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it's not about just attending church, it's about keeping your eyes focused on God. Isn't that right? You know, one thing that it says here in Deuteronomy 4:6-7, you know, it was saying that, you know, we should be the envy of the world. Later on there, it says, pass it on to your children. What are you passing on? And who are you passing it on to? You know, I want to talk to some of the parents here because I want to meet your needs. What are you passing on to your children? What legacy are you passing down to your children? You know, I was talking to the teenagers in where I minister in the Southeast, and I spoke to the teenagers. I said, you know, some of you teens, as you're growing up, you need to get to know God rather than church. You need to learn how to connect with God rather than church. And I put the onus on the parents, you know, hey, we've got older kids, but it's still our responsibility to keep on calling them back to God. What are you teaching your children? I'm speaking to the parents here. Are you teaching them about God or just church attendance? It won't do it. It is not enough. The heart of God, the kindness, let them connect and know who this great God is that we serve. These things are not easy to forget. In closing, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, 23-28. You know, would God say you are doing a good job of keeping up your end of the bargain in your commitment to your covenant with Him? If not, then it's time to start watching again. Keep watch. Don't make it too complicated. It's easy, guys. You know one thing I love about God? God is very simple. We complicate things. God is not a physicist. He's not a structural engineer. He's not a mathematician. He is not a GP or a doctor or a banker. He is God. But how do we hear God this morning? You know, I want to, you know, quickly, if you're visiting here with us, maybe you're seeking, maybe you're searching. Ask the people who have brought you along here and say, how can I get into a covenant relationship with God? I grew up, I went to church, but I wasn't in a covenant. It took somebody to sit me down and teach me how to have a covenant relationship with God. What does God really desire? Because sometimes you think you know, but you don't know. Get somebody to study it with you. You know, remember, our God will never forget his end, as it says right there. But you know, one thing I do want to leave you with, do I need to renew my covenant with God today? Do I need to renew it? Go back home, reflect, and renew some covenants with him. In Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 23, last scripture, and then we'll close out here. Are you there? All right, okay. It's actually verse 25. All right. The glasses are not here. No, I don't wear glasses, but that's okay. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, brothers and sisters, thanks a lot for listening to me today. There are consequences if we don't take our covenant with God seriously. They are consequent. Because sometimes life can just be, you know, been around a long time and we settle in. But there are consequences, but there are also blessings if we see God with all his heart. Let us be a people of the covenant. God bless you all. Amen.